This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hey, thanks to Debbie Antonelli, who just joined us. Rock Harrison coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes. Talk a little wrestling, boys. Duels are on the network starting tomorrow night, 6 sharp. Get that all over you. Got it going. We're Virginia Tech, North Carolina. We're getting all that stuff with Rock. And Jalen Cohn's also going to join us this hour. And, man, I'm telling you what. And if you haven't seen the Hokies yet, shame on you. This dude's coming in off the bench. And, man, there are baskets going in left and right. Dude just makes stuff happen. So we look forward to having him on the program, and that'll be a blast. All right, last night, West Durham, it was all about Florida State putting on a circus act now. It was a show going on down in T-Town. They were rocking it. Goodness gracious. When you don't miss a shot, you're going to roll.
Star of the game for the Noles, Raekwon Evans, will join us in an hour. A very busy Thursday edition of the show, but Florida State last night shoots nearly 71%, their best ever mark in an ACC game, and they diced NC State last night, 105-73. Raekwon Evans had 24 last night, 9 of 11 from the floor. MJ Walker was 6 of 7. Florida State was 41 of 58 from the floor and 12 of 18 from 3. That's hard to do by yourself in a driveway. Just saying. They were unbelievable last night, and holy cow. They trailed 9-8 in the game before scoring 31 of the next 37 points in the game. Is that a lot? Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, you know, I was figuring this up. I mean, Florida State attempted a shot at the basket 87 times last night. Only 23 didn't go in. I'm talking about threes, field goals, free throws. Yeah. I mean, you won't see a line like that, I bet, anywhere else in the country the rest of the year. I mean, just think about that. 100% from the free throw line, nearly 71% from the field, 67% from three-point line. I mean, it was crazy what they did last night. Like I said, the circus act was in it. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, you like numbers, right? And you like putting numbers together and kind of matching them. And you know how that works for me. It's been well documented on this show how that works for me. But you start thinking about the value of 12 threes and 41 field goals last night. I mean, the extra, that's how you get to 105 when you think about it. And you're not missing but 6 of those threes and you're only missing 17 shots. The ratios are unbelievable. Now, here's the trick in this. It's not going to be that easy every game, and here comes North Carolina with a little more size inside and things like that. But for the time last night, I don't want to say NC State was helpless, but NC State might have been helpless, Pac. And if they're not going to be patient at the offensive end on a night like this, you know what you're doing? You're just pouring gas on the fire at the Florida State end of the floor, right?
Well, we're going to talk about all these games from last night, but it was interesting that Virginia had a great shooting night. They scored 80, right?
Yep.
Knocking off Notre Dame yesterday. They shot 54% from the field, 50% from threes, and 85% from the line. You're thinking, wow, lights out. And then you see the Florida State numbers, and it makes Virginia look like they couldn't throw it in the ocean. I mean, that's how hot Florida State was last night offensively. And keep in mind, we had not seen them play a single game yet this calendar year, and it just looked like they just could not wait to play, right? I mean, they just exploded,
right?
And NC State couldn't do anything about it. I mean, it was just like, hey, it was a tidal wave, and boys, there'll be better nights. You know, get a good night's sleep, get some rest, and get ready for Georgia Tech this weekend. But for the Wolfpack, again, that's 3 straight losses. And I just thought coming off the Miami game at home, that I would have gotten a little bit better of a something from NC State last night, but it just simply didn't matter. Florida State was that good. They were just that good.
Yeah, and you start looking at the way games get built here. Florida State now has to transition to North Carolina. NC State transitions to a Georgia Tech coming off a pause. And the last time we saw the Jackets, they looked pretty good.
Yeah,
on a Sunday night against Wake Forest. So, yeah, I mean, they had been playing well. So how much of that momentum was Josh Pastner able to maintain through whatever they were able to do here in the last few days by anybody that wasn't impacted by contact tracing or whatever. So we'll see. But I think you're right. Florida State and Virginia, to a degree, kept up, you know, wanted us to keep them in front of mind, as did Virginia scoring – I mean, as did Louisville scoring 77 and winning at Wake Forest on the road last night, but we kind of thought the Cards would win the game anyway. The way Virginia played and beat Notre Dame, we thought they'd win too, but the Florida State-NC State game was our, quote, game of the night here, Pac, last night, and that didn't last long as game of the night.
Well, I pointed out yesterday that whatever that BPI thing is, which I have no idea what it is. Yes. It picked NC State to win. You're kidding me. But Pac, you're going on the limb picking the favorites. I said, oh, no. BPI's picking NC State to beat Florida State. And I thought about that BPI thing yesterday, last night, sitting up, put my feet up watching the game. I'm like, yeah, BPI's all over it. Florida State's up 36 or whatever it was. But, hey, there are going to be nights, right? There's nights on both sides. There's nights where you just, no matter what you touch, it turns to gold, and you're making everything you look at. And there's also games that you just can't seemingly get out of the way. That last night was almost like, felt like a combination of both. Florida State was that good, and NC State just had no answers, none. So, hey, if you're the Wolfpack, well, you pick yourself up and get going. And Florida State, man, you hope it just keeps on rolling with the heels coming to town.
Let's pivot to Charlottesville, because the Cavaliers – 180-68, and don't look now, but Jay Huff is playing his way to the front of the All-ACC ballot.
Agreed.
A guy who's really, really grown a lot in Charlottesville under Tony Bennett, kind of dabbled with the combine and the NBA stuff last year. 18-5-2, four straight games in double digits, longest career streak in a single season for him. Notre Dame, by the way, that skid you spoke of Monday is now at 27 straight losses to AP-ranked teams, third longest in ACC history, by the way. But Jay Huff and Virginia looked good yesterday.
By the way, speaking of the Irish real quick, they only committed 8 fouls in the game last night. This game took place yesterday afternoon, I say last night. 8 fouls, and they made 19 of 20 from the free throw line. And you just never got a sense that they were in the game. I mean, Virginia had those guys down 24, and Notre Dame made a semi-run, but there was never a sense that the Virginia was going to lose that game, right? They just took care of business, shot the ball well, and again, when the Hoos make shots like all these other teams, you got a chance to win a bunch of games. But I keep going back to, hey, Virginia's 4-0 in the league. Hey, you go, Pac, we've seen that act before. I'll just emphasize again, they beat Notre Dame twice. The Irish are 0-5. They've beaten Wake Forest, who's 0-4. They've beaten Boston College, who's 1-5. Saturday will be a true indicator of Virginia and Clemson. Saturday. That is a big-time game coming up this weekend here in the ACC.
Yeah, Louisville, by the way, a 12-point winner last night in Winston-Salem. Really a story of Carleigh Jones, 23 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double for Jones, who, by the way, would probably be on that All-ACC list too.
No doubt.
The way he has played this year for the Cards. Samuel Williamson, 15 and 11 last night. Another double-double for him. David Johnson, maybe not as good a night, but we did get to see Charles Menland at the end of the night for the first time in a Louisville jersey on the floor for a brief minute. As the Cards win. Wake goes to 0-3 against AP-ranked teams this year. But make no mistake here. Look, this number may not be idyllic at the end of the year for Steve Forbes, but it's clear from watching them play like a Saturday at a Duke Pack and turn around watching a little bit of it last night. To be honest with you, I'm impressed with the day-to-day at what's going on in Winston-Salem. I like the tack they're taking. You know, the guy can win. We know that from his work at East Tennessee State and his various college stops along the way as an assistant. I just think the long term here, there'll be some payoff for Wake Forest.
Well, last night, listen, they're down 16 last night and make a run and cut it to 1. And you're thinking, wow, maybe the Deacs got the – and you kind of felt that way in the Duke game last week. Hey, they got a chance. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of times in the last couple of years you watch Wake and you're like, they don't have a chance. Now, keep in mind, they went 9.5 minutes without a basket once they got it within 1. That happens. That's a problem. But I think if you're a Wake Forest fan, you need to be realistic with what has been the last couple years of your program. And you got a new guy in charge. And, hey, it's a crazy year with COVID. You make the best you can. You've been on pause. You've gone through delays where you haven't played a lick. But I'm with you, Wes. I see improvement with Wake Forest basketball. Yeah, you don't have as many wins as you want to have. And that's true for almost everybody. But you do like the direction that they're headed in. And I don't know how many games they're going to win. But Wake fans just need to be patient with Coach Forbes.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
As you know, tomorrow, 6 p.m. right here on ACC Network, it's time to get down and dirty again. Duels are back. Fired up for it. Who better to break down ACC wrestling than our man, The Rock? Rock Harrison joins us. All right, Rock, it's go time, man. First of all, good having you back on the show. And, man, I fell in love with watching this stuff last year. It was great television. And, man, the league is good. First of all, I hope you're doing well, and I know you're excited.
Well, first of all, gentlemen, thank you for having me back on. We really enjoy getting the love from you two on the ACC Network. And, yeah, we're back again. And we just can't wait for the season. Obviously, COVID has made some changes in how wrestlers adjust. But the wrestlers are just resilient. They adjust. When you grab someone in a wrestling match, you have to adjust. And we're just doing that right now in the season. And the ACC is tough once again. We're looking forward to a great match with Virginia Tech visiting the Tar Heels.
All right, Rock. So let's go through the sport as a whole here. What will fans see tomorrow night that might be a little different than what they've seen in the past when it comes to wrestling?
First of all, there are no fans. And so when there's no fans, you can't hear the adrenaline when you're tired and you hear the roar of the crowd and you want to just push a little more. So you're not going to have the roar of the crowd. However, you can hear your coaches more clearly. So when your coach is saying, get up, you can hear them. No one's yelling over you. So one of the things we have to do is continue to just be very in tune. And there's some guys that really may perform because they don't have the crowd to get them nervous. And some guys may not perform because they don't have the adrenaline. But regardless, you're going to have two guys that are going to be going after it, making sure that they're going to show what they've been doing while they were in quarantine.
Now, Rock, I remember last year watching North Carolina Virginia Tech, and the Heels took it to Hokie Land and pulled off a surprise. In fact, you know, that was not only winning was a surprise, but they almost kind of did it relatively easy. What kind of impact? Is that one of those chip on the shoulder deals that you remember from a year ago? Or, hey, is that out of sight, out of mind, whole new universe now?
You know what? Wrestlers try to have a short memory, but really they know when a team beat them and upset them. So Virginia Tech, they remember what happened. UNC came in, they won three tight matches and one huge upset at 165. So Coach Roby's going to have them ready. Each match is going to be different, but there were three swing matches that could have gone either way. So I believe that Coach Roby is going to try and tighten up those little loose ends and swing it, but UNC is tough, and they're just getting better. They recruit across the nation from the state of Washington, Vegas, all the way down in Georgia, up to New Jersey. So they truly have a national team, even though they're in North Carolina. So they'll be ready, but Virginia Tech does have revenge on their mind.
Rock, I want to jump to 165 because that's where Makai Lewis is for Virginia Tech. And obviously he took the Olympic red shirt last year. The Tokyo Games did not go off. We had him on the show about a week or so ago. He was interesting to visit with, just talking about getting back into the team's concept and in the ACC and with Virginia Tech. But that's a headline match on Friday night, isn't it, at 165 with he and Kennedy Mundy?
Absolutely. Makai, he's so good. He won a national championship two years ago, and he was smooth. He was very stoic, and to be an underclassman, he really carries himself with a disposition of an upperclassman. However, Kennedy Mundy, son of Olympic gold medalist Kennedy Mundy, will be ready. Last year, he came into Virginia Tech and upset the number three ranked wrestler, David McFadden. So you have Kennedy Mundy, who is streaky. When he's hot, he can beat anybody. But then you just had Makai Lewis, who's looking to be a four-time national champion for Virginia Tech. I don't know, but I think Virginia Tech Mekhi Lewis is the favorite, but last year it was also in a position where Kennedy Mundy was a favorite and came out with an upset.
Rock, when it comes to Mekhi Lewis, and this is going to sound like a crazy question, is there an in awe element to him, given the fact that, hey, you know, out of sight, out of mind, we know who he is. He's a bad, bad man, and now he's back in business. Like, when he's on the mat, is there like, oh, man, here comes Lewis. Is there anybody else in the league that got that kind of aura that, hey, when they're doing their thing, man, stop what you're doing and watch?
Oh, yeah. There are a couple guys that are just must-see TV. First of all, Mekhi Lewis is ripped. As soon as he gets on the mat, he is a man. So when you see this guy, you're in awe because he's what we want to aspire to be like with these New Year's resolutions. When he wrestles, he's always aggressive. He goes out front. But I tell you what, the other guy that's really exciting is at 125 for NC State, a guy named Jacob Camacho. So exciting. You watch him. He likes to wrestle. He's flowing. But when you watch Mekhi, you watch and see, wow, this is what wrestling is. This guy is so good, so smooth, so in position, and he likes to score points. It's not a boring 4-3 match or 2-1 match. He's going to put up a lot of points. You got to watch this guy. He is that good.
All right, so we get the Heels and the Hokies on Friday night, Rock. Is that kind of the top of the chart? I mean, NC has been very good. Where else are we looking here as we move through the winter with ACC wrestling?
Clearly, NC State is the top team, not just in the conference, but they're also one of the top teams in the nation, ranked number 4. Then after that, it gets a little tighter. Then we have Virginia Tech and then Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is a silent monster. Mm. They're in the best wrestling state in Pennsylvania, so they recruit well. And then you have UNC. I tell you what, it all depends. So we also have to make sure that the matches go off, because one COVID diagnosis can really change your lineup. So we just believe that you just have to show up, be ready. But clearly, NC State, with their 19-match win streak, is the top team in the ACC. Everyone is gunning for them. But they had some tight matches last year where it came down to one match, and it could have gone the other way for Virginia Tech, or it could have gone the other way for UNC. It's going to be a great, great season. I can't wait.
Rock, if I said to you, for folks that maybe didn't watch the duels or have heard us talk about it, go, you know, I hear Pac talking about this all the time, I'm going to give it a sample. Give me, off the top of your head, we talked about Mekhi Lewis. Give me the top 3 or 4 wrestlers in the league, regardless of weight, that you just said, hey, listen, when you see us having a match between A and B, be sure you check out the following, right? So give me 3 or 4 off the top of your head that are must-watch when it comes to the duels.
All right, easy. At 157, NC State has Hayden Hidley. He is a 3-time All-American, and he just goes hard. He has what's called an underhook, where you stick the arm underneath a guy's armpit, and he just drives people across the mat. And once again, he is aggressive. He likes to score. I like his style. And if you watch, as a casual viewer, you'll start to enjoy the sport because of his style. The next person who's under the radar at 197 is Jay Aiello from Virginia. 197, so you think 197, they move slowly. But this guy, he shoots a single and goes at it, and he scores a lot of points again. So when you watch Jay Aiello, that's another good, good wrestler. And another wrestler that we can consider is, once again, on Virginia Tech, Hunter Bolin. He is dog tough. In your face, but you can find it out. You know what? We were talking to Coach Roby, and Coach Roby made a joke about Hunter Bolin, and he said, don't tell Hunter, because he knows Hunter is that tough. You know, Hunter Bolin.
I love it. I'm telling you, the duels is
dog tough, Pac.
The duels is where it's at. I fell in love with this last year, and I was, again, I told the story before, Rock. I was channel surfing on a Friday night. Finally got done with the radio show. End of the week, I'm worn out. I put my feet up. I got my one ice cube. Life's good. I was channel surfing and ran across the duels last year. I couldn't turn it off. I was like, man, these dudes are getting after it. Man, it was intense. And I know you said there's not going to be crowds and that'll be a bummer, but still, man, the intensity of these matches are just awesome. And it is competition, old school, and they could be in a back alley, much less on the mat. And these dudes are cut. And they got attitude, and they get after it, man. So I'm pumped that the duels are back. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
We We're trying to find a casual viewer just like yourself. They're just channel surfing. Just give us a shot. Wrestling is such a wonderful sport. You'll watch it. Hopefully, Sean and I will do a good job of breaking down the sport so you don't have to have a PhD in wrestling to watch. Just watch us. It's a fun sport. It's interesting. And we just love the fact that you all are giving us love and the AC Network has us on. So watch. We're an exciting sport.
Yeah, you guys do a great job. And like you said, and let me say one more thing. Yep. And what you just said is so true because I don't know anything about wrestling, right? I mean, I can tell you about Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen of WWE, but this is not what we're talking about. This is truly technique. This is as fundamental as it gets. Yeah. But you guys were so good because I learned so much watching it. And again, for any casual viewer, and that's the perfect way to describe it. Friday night, you got nothing going on. Put your feet up, and I'm telling you. You guys are great. You're well educated. You understand the whole thing. You talk down to us to make it easy, but the action is so good, and these guys are awesome. So check it out. It's gonna be good stuff.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Hey, Rock. Here's the other thing. You and Sean are not on site, right? To do these, you're gonna do these remotely, right? That's gotta be a buzz for you, right? Is that a buzzkill?
Yeah, this is my home studio, so it's not very exciting. So, yeah, I'd rather be in the atmosphere with the fans, hear the coaches, to see the wrestlers, to see who's breaking, who's getting stronger. So we're going to make it happen. It's still wrestling. We can still talk about it. But, yes, this is unique. But hopefully next year we'll be back on the campuses, you know, calling good matches and hopefully getting people to want to not just watch, but hopefully they'll come to the arenas to watch these guys give their all. It's a great sport. And we're just honored to be on the network and the love that you all are giving us. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Keep up the great work.
You bet, Rock. Look forward to having you back, man. Be well. Stay safe. And look forward to you and Sean coming up on Friday night. So the conference opener, number 8, Virginia Tech, meets number 14, North Carolina. We're looking forward to having it for you. Coverage at Carmichael Arena starts at 6 o'clock. And, man, we got a lot of good matches set up. Hokies are 4-0. Tar Heels are 1-0. And Friday Night Duels makes its premiere this season, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Jalen Cohn's going to join us here momentarily. And for ACC basketball fans, if you haven't checked out the Hokies yet, you're going to need to remember this dude because he is coming off the bench and lighting it up. And the Hokies have gotten off to a great start, and Jalen's rocking and rolling. So we look forward to having him on the show here momentarily. And I am pumped up about the duels, by the way, with Virginia Tech and North Carolina tomorrow night, which will be out of sight. And we got the Power Hour coming up at the top of the hour. And Raekwon Evans, who's still making shots against NC State. Goodness gracious, he was unbelievable last night. He will join us, and Dallin Cuff will join us. So we got a lot of folks lined up between now and 10 a.m. So I'm just giving you the heads up that if you want to jump on board or get on and for a phone call or whatever, you better pick and choose your spots because we're going to be really, really busy moving forward here.
Basket must have looked like a garage door last night in Tallahassee. I mean, just throw it in the garage, right?
Gosh. I mean, that was nuts. I
that is nuts.
I mean, you kept watching.
70% pack, I'm telling you. When the first number is a 7, you don't lose.
Well, I mean, you know, you kept watching and thinking, well, they're going to miss, aren't they? Like, you know, how long can this go? You see teams get on runs and stretches. Shoot, Florida State was on like a 38-minute stretch. That was crazy what they did last night.
I don't know if we can pull this clip. Late in the game, Nathaniel Jack hit a 3
from midcourt,
standing well inside the Seminole.
Yeah,
I mean, well inside,
and it was pure,
like, by like 4 feet.
Right.
Oh,
and it was effortless. It was like shooting a Nerf ball. Like, you know, when he threw it up there, I'm like, well, surely that's not going in. Whoosh, swish.
Right.
I mean, it was nuts. It was. It's one of those things, if you're a State fan, you probably turn it off. You couldn't stand it any longer. But it got to the point you couldn't turn it off because you couldn't believe how many shots they were making. It was really remarkable.
Right. Crazy. Crazy. Yep. All right, let's go to Blacksburg. From Walkertown, North Carolina, by the way. Jalen Cohn has arrived in Blacksburg, and a year ago was a guy that Mike Young tabbed to just come in the ball game and start lighting it up. And you thought, well, wait a second. I'm not sure that's going to be a route of success. Well, guess what? Not only has he gone in ball games and wired it up a year ago, he's come back bigger and better this year. And Jalen Cohn joins us from Blacksburg here on Packer and Durham this morning. Jalen, first of all, great to have you with us, and congratulations on you guys' start. It's been fun to watch the Hokies.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so listen, what is the secret sauce of, all right, I'm chilling out on the bench, we got this whole COVID thing going on, we're all spread out, coach looks down, says, all right, Cohn, let's go, you're in. And, I mean, so you walk to the scorer's table, you're coming in the ball game. And, man, the second you touch it, like, I know something's going to happen when I watch you. It's like, man, it won't take but one possession. Cohn's going to do something right from the get-go. So what's the mindset when you get into the ball game? I mean, is it just automatic aggressiveness? Well, you tell me. What happens there?
It's really when I'm on the bench, just staying locked in. I'm on a game and just staying focused. And really, I think most of it just comes from building repetition. Since I was about a sophomore in high school, me and my dad just always did form shooting, and we'd go to the gym for hours and do form shooting. So I just know when I get in the game, I know any shot I take that I'm confident will go in.
All right, but I noticed the other night in doing the Notre Dame game with Jordan Cornette and a little bit in watching the Duke game that Jalen Cohn stands up in this new expanded spread-out bench area. Jalen Cohn often stands up in front of his seat during the game. And I'm not saying you're standing up because, hey, coach, I'm ready to go in. That's why I'm standing up down here. But you dive into the ball game mentally, it looks like, during the course of the game, right?
Definitely. Just staying focused, keeping my teammates that's also on the bench with me engaged. And also just cheering on my teammates on the court. Just this year, not having any fans. We definitely just have to bring more energy on the bench and give the guys energy from the jump.
Jalen, I mentioned before the season started, Wes and I were going down through the media picks and so forth and what we thought could potentially happen. And I mentioned on this show that I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I had a couple buds at Virginia Tech that know your program pretty good inside and out. And they told me, Pack, when you guys start making picks for Virginia Tech, if you got us double digits, you guys are making a terrible mistake because we're going to be really, really good. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm noted. You know, I need to see it to believe it. And lo and behold, here we are. It didn't take but a knockoff of Villanova to grab everybody's attention. And you guys haven't looked back since. What did you know about this team before it started that you sensed that, you know what, we are going to be really, really good?
Really, from the jump, we have a phenomenal coaching staff, and a difference I saw this year, just preseason, we have a lot of guys who love to fight and compete. Last year, we just really didn't have that toughness, and we didn't have a lot of guys that wanted to compete, but this year, we got guys going at each other in practice and guys ready to throw blows in practice, and I think that helps us when it comes down to the stretch. On these big stages, that this year we just have a team that's ready to fight, and we have a lot of guys who can play ball that starts the games, and also a lot of guys on the bench who can come into the game and make a big difference.
All right, so Jalen, year two with Coach Young as opposed to year one, obviously different chemistry, different personality, but where have you guys gotten better on the floor?
I would definitely say on the inside, our inside presence is phenomenal this year. Keve Aluma has done a phenomenal job and has played a big role in our success, and so has Justin Mutz. Both of them have been great down low, and also Tyrese Rafford. We didn't had a lot of games where we're out rebounding teams, and we're stopping some other teams' key players that would normally dominate us in the post. But this year, I think our post presence has been phenomenal.
Jalen, you talked about that toughness factor. I thought that was so evident in the Duke game where you guys got off to the big start. You figured Duke's going to make a run, and they did. And so you go from up 16 to 18. Now next thing you know, it's second half. They've got it to one. It becomes a multiple possession game. But then you pulled away again. It was almost like, hey, we took your best shot. Cool. Now it's our turn. And that toughness you're talking about, I thought that was certainly on display in your win against Duke the other night.
Definitely. We knew that the game wasn't over going into halftime, and we knew when we came back out the guys was going to throw another blow at us. And Coach emphasized these next 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes ahead of us. We got to be ready to fight. And he told us they're going to make a run. And just the way we react is going to determine the outcome of this game.
All right. We just ran the clip here of the lead you got and the layup you got in the first half. Now, just curious, I've seen you rise catching fire on the jump shot. I mean, you got a little get up about you. Did you think about trying to dunk that down there the other night?
I did. I certainly did.
What happened?
And?
Hey, man. sometimes the game's going so fast. I got a little winded early. And I just thought to myself, hey, man, just take the safe bucket, get the layup, get your legs under you some more, get your wind under you. And next time, hey, go for the dunk.
Hey, you know what, Jalen? It still counts 2 points, man. Either way, right?
It still counts as 2 points.
That's a two. It counts for two. We play in 40 minutes. So down the road we go. By the way, what did you work on the most during this crazy pandemic when everything went crazy last March? And all of a sudden the season comes to a screeching halt. Now you know, all right, we got to get ready for this upcoming year, whatever it may look like. How did you work on your game, and what did you work on the most to get ready for the 20-21 season?
Really getting stronger and expanding my game and making the right reads. Last year, I was really playing and using natural instinct, but this year I wanted to become a better student of the game and learn to make better reads coming off screens to catch and shoot, know when to hit the pop back guy, know when to hit the dump down guy. And really just, like I said, making better decisions on the offensive end and defensive end. That was the main thing for me, just becoming a better student of the game.
All right, so a lot of people will watch you play and they'll notice, you know, you come from the opposite side on the rotation, you'll pop off screens. Some guys, for some reason whatsoever, play underneath the screen on you. I still haven't sorted out why anybody would want to do that. But when you see the screen coming, you talk about reading the screen. So take the fan at home through that process of understanding the screen and how you handle it, because it's not always the same, right?
Yeah, it's not always the same. You have some guys that want to stick to my hip and chase me, and then you got some guys that wants to cut it. But when a guy just chases me, now the curl opportunity is there, or now I have the chance to a quick rise, and I know guys are just going run into me or get under me and just not gonna give me a good contest on my shot, and it's gonna be an easy shot to knock down. Then also, if guys cut it, you have the bump and fade, or if they cut it, I can give it back to the point guard and go back off, and now guys are in a situation, now they're stuck behind me, and I have the advantage to do whatever I want.
Jalen, we ask this to every student-athlete that appears on the show. What has been the hardest class you've had at Virginia Tech?
Oh, he's ready. He's ready. He's ready. He knows this question's coming. He's ready.
I would definitely have to say math. Math never been my biggest strong suit, but we had a lot of help. Our academic advisor, at least, has been tremendous through our whole process here at Virginia Tech, and I truly believe without her, our team wouldn't be as successful as we are in the classroom.
There you go, Wes. You're kind of guy.
See? My people. Jalen and I, we're there, Pac. I don't know about you, Pac. Jalen and I, we're there.
Math wasn't
Math
a problem.
Math and shooting. We're there. Yeah. We got it.
Yeah. The You know what else you two have in common? I'll tell you what else you two have in common. The question you asked Jalen coming in for the dunk, he went with the layup. That's exactly how you would have approached it, Wes. Exactly the same way.
Yeah, that's it. I would definitely lay it up. Definitely lay it up. Hey, Jalen, thanks for the time. Stay well. Look forward to watching you the rest of the way, my man.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Jalen Cohn of Virginia Tech. That was fun.
He's a fun player.
He's a powder keg now.
Yes, sir.
He's a powder keg. You know, I'm not coaching a team that's playing Virginia Tech, but you might want to find 1-5 when he checks in the game.
Yes, sir.
Holy smokes. Coming off 14 against Duke, 18 against Notre Dame, 23 at Louisville. Just did the quick math on this. He is 13
watch out.
Of 27. Hey, 13 of his last 27 from three.
Do you know what that percentage is? You got that percentage? You should have that off the top of your head.
That's almost 50%, Pat.
There you go. Yes. You're rolling. Wes Durham is in game mode. I'm just telling you. Got his game face on today. Rolling.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coming up, Raekwon Evans from Florida State, who was lights out like everybody else in Tallahassee last night. So that's coming up to lead off the Power Hour. But right now, Wes Durham, we go to the smart people, the ones up in Bristol that run this bad boy. Time for some lumberjack action. There he is. Still bummed out that Syracuse lost the other night to North Carolina, but, you know, shrugs his shoulders and says, let's go. Bring on Pitt. We're ready to go.
That's right. Yeah, ready for the rematch against Pitt. Life goes on, right?
That's right.
Speaking of basketball, first question here in true or false. True or false, the ACC will have at least one men's team ranked in the top 10 of the final AP poll. Of course, there isn't one there right now.
I'm going to say false. I'm going to go false, and I'm going to tell you why. And then Wes can either agree or disagree with this. I still think we're going to have a glob at the top. I think there's going to be multiple losses at the top with this upper tier. And, you know, Clemson, I guess, is what, 12th this week? And I just don't know if the country is going to give – the ACC enough credit to have one of those teams. Now, the only way that changes is somebody goes bonkers and finishes up 18-2 or something like that. And I just don't think that's going to happen in the league. Just don't think so. I'm going to go false.
Okay, let's remind our audience that the final AP poll actually comes out after the national championship. Right?
Yeah, I just don't
so
see it.
So I'm going to say true. I think there'll be one inside the top 10, but I think it'll be right on the line.
Yep.
Now, keep in mind, it's been...
And that would...
I'm sorry, Wes, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's been 60 straight seasons that there has been at least one.
That's why I'm saying true.
I hope Wes is right. But, you know, I think when you take a snapshot of where we are nationally, I think you go six or seven deep right now, and I don't think those teams are changing. So the ability to get in is really not top 10. It's about two or three spots. And unless some team goes bonkers, I think that's going to be hard to do for an ACC team. And I hope I'm wrong. But we'll see.
But even the teams we're talking about, like, for instance, Louisville is 9-1 at 16. I mean, the problem here is not the ranking. It's the number of games. So Louisville's only played 10 games, and they're 16th. Virginia's played 10 games. They're 18th. Eventually, those teams, hypothetically, they lose 3 to 5 more times. They're still going to have a chance to be in the top 10. And really, that's probably about the limit of what you're going to see from them 3 to 5 more times.
Wes Durham, I hope you're right. I do.
Okay.
I'm hoping you're 100% right.
All right.
All right, guys. Next one. True or false? Every ACC team will have at least one loss in the conference before each team in the conference has a loss in the league.
Say that one again. I'm going to listen to that one again.
True or false? Every ACC team will have at least one win before every team has a loss.
Every team has a loss.
I think that is true. It's a good question.
You know, I'm going to cheat here and look.
How are you cheating? Oof. How does that work?
Looking at the schedule.
I'm looking at Wake Forest's schedule.
How do you cheat when you don't know the outcome?
Well, you don't. I'm saying I'm cheating and looking ahead here before I guess. Every team will have at least one win before every team has a loss.
Show ends at 10.
Oh, I'm looking.
No, I know.
I'm looking.
But the show ends at 10.
False. I go with false.
Final answer?
Oh, don't ask him that, please. Final answer. He'll change his mind. We'll be here till midnight.
You know what? Hey, just remember, the hottest shooter in the league was just on this show and said his hardest subject was math.
Oh, I know. Thank God we had him on before we got the true-false segment. We had never had him on.
All right, we touched on this a little bit with the tall Virginian, Coach Dan Bonner, yesterday. True or false, yep. The winner of the ACC will have at least 5 regular season conference losses.
I'm going, no, false. I'm a 4 guy, 16-4, or 15-4, or 14-4. I'm going 4 in the loss category. False.
I'm going to go false. I'm going to tell you why, because I don't know if we're going to get the full 20 in. So I think you could have.
Well, I don't think that. I just think 4.
Okay, fine. I think we could have a 3 or 4 losser, but I don't know if we're going to get 20 in. So I think your potential universe of potential L's gets diminished. So I'm going to go under 5 as well. But it won't be much less than that.
So you're going to go with false.
False. That's right, Wes. False.
Oh, man.
I'm not cheating.
I thought Macri's questions were excellent today, by the way.
Is that it?
We only thought this was an excellent addition of truth. Well, I was kind of hoping we'd squeeze one more in, but we're
I mean, if you could have answered the second question in less than 8 minutes, we might have been able to do that. I mean, you were cheating and doing Wes math on me. You were
cheating.
Fake left going right.
I was looking to see a game schedule.
It's true.
Man,
false.
I was looking
true
at false. Games.
It's true. False, man.
We take these questions blind. We don't look ahead. You know that.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
Do we have another one, Macri, right. or not? We don't. No. True or false? We have another question. False.
False. Yeah. True. However, next up on this show. Career high 24 last night. Got the start.
Wait a minute.
For the Seminoles.
Let me give one just off the top of my head. Just making it up off the fly. True or false? Florida State will miss more shots in the first half against North Carolina than they did for the entire game against NC State. True or false?
Why don't you ask Raekwon Evans when he joins us next?
I'm asking you. They missed 17 shots for the whole game. True or false?
True.
It's a possibility. No question.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.